News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace in Palermo, California. Two boys, ages 5 and 6, are fighting for their lives after they were shot at their small religious school. Joy Orlando's child goes there. She got a call from the sheriff's office.
I said, well, was there a shooting? And the person that I was speaking with said there was an incident. And he said there were two children hurt. But that was the only information I got, which made me go into extreme panic.
Police say the gunman took his own life. There's no word on a motive. Police are hunting for the shooter who killed the CEO of United Healthcare on a Manhattan sidewalk Wednesday morning.
We have a male shot coming over in the north.
Just after 6:45 a.m., surveillance video captured a man wearing a mask and carrying a gun with a silencer, approaching United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson from behind and shooting him in the back and calf. Thompson crumbling to the ground. The gunman can then be seen trying to unjam his gun before shooting again, then calmly walking across the street.
CBS's Meg Oliver. Police say it appears to have been a targeted attack. Almost 2 years after the police beating death of Tyre Nichols in Memphis, a scathing new report is out.
The Justice Department has done an examination of the Memphis police force and say that they should be under a consent decree. In other words, monitored by a federal judge because they routinely engage in unconstitutional and excessive force practices.
Loyola law professor and former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson. 11 months after a door plug fell off a jet mid-flight, raising concerns about the safety of Boeing's planes, there are now similar concerns about Boeing's Space Department. CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve heard from a technician who builds satellites for Boeing.
He says that he's filed in just the last year hundreds of safety complaints, ranging from issues with fire extinguishers to blocked access ways to unsafe work techniques or conditions. That sort of really runs the gamut of things.
A new study suggests a correlation between dark chocolate and a reduced risk of type 2 diabetes. Binkai Liu is a researcher at the Harvard School of Public Health.
Having a balanced, nutrient-rich diet is very important, and including dark chocolate into that balanced diet can be a good addition. And I think that's the key message here from the paper.
South Korea's parliament has introduced a motion to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol for imposing martial law briefly this week. Looks like lawmakers will vote on that resolution this weekend. Yoon has accepted the resignation of his defense minister, who recommended he declare martial law. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Short turnaround. The Bucks host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. The Bucks coming off a 127-107 win over the Pistons last night in Detroit. Head coach Doc Rivers on their seventh win in a row.
The more we attack the paint, the more open shots we're going to get. Detroit is a help basketball team like every team is. And our guys just found the open man.
College hoops, number 5th ranked Marquette is at Iowa State tonight. On Saturday, they'll host Wisconsin. The Badgers losing to Michigan 67-64. Their first loss of the season. Head coach Greg Gard.
Credit to Michigan. They banked on us not being able to bang in some threes and did a good job of gumming up the paint and made it hard in terms of that regard. And we're able to get enough offense going to get past us.
NFL, the Packers. Matt LaFleur asked if Jair Alexander will be able to play Thursday night against the Lions despite his knee injury.
We'll see. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999 when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed, so beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night which opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids, but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, plenty of clouds and plenty of wind. Northwest winds over 40 miles per hour. Lows will drop to the upper single digits. Wind chill sub-zero. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, still blustery, with highs in the middle 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. Next up, Tom Paulswitz joins me in the co-host chair. We're going to talk about the arguments before the Supreme Court about transgender care rights. Next. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement. There is a case before the Supreme Court that started this morning regarding trans care and trans care for kids. I believe this is the state of Tennessee. And Dr. Hanks has worked with the trans community and has, I'm sure, opinions about this.
I'm very nervous about the Supreme Court taking up this topic.
Yes. And from some of the dialogue I've seen so far this morning, it seems like Samuel Alito is pretty much coming out not necessarily hearing both sides, shall we say.
Oh, so he's already told us what he's going to do, huh?
It seems like he's pretty firmly siding with the state of Tennessee and against trans care. So what a shock. I know, but...
I don't want to say against the law, but aren't you just not supposed to do that?
When you're a Supreme Court justice, I would have thought.
Yeah.
But these are different days now.
Apparently. I mean, honestly, like, I don't even know... That makes me really mad because after that's done. Because what are you gonna like? You just have to wait until they're gone to try to bring it back around.
Well, and now again, you know, Donald Trump's going to have the opportunity to replace.
Oh yeah, he's going to get at least one more.
Yeah, two. So we will keep you updated on that, but we'll talk about that with Dr. Hanks coming up at 11:33. And if you have questions about trans care, I highly encourage you to send them in.
Please.
She will absolutely answer them. If you have a question about trans care and how this works, send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. I'm sure she would have no problem answering any questions you might have.
And we will. And please let us know if this is a private matter. We will get the information to her directly and try to set up a pipeline between the two of you.
Yes.
This is not something we have to put on the air if you don't want it.
Absolutely.
But we can definitely be a conduit if we can help.
Absolutely. All right. We are very excited to be joined by our guest taking time out while he is on vacation.
That's right.
He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Van Ruden joins us on the phone. Good morning, Darren. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I am doing well.
Thank you so much for joining us as you're taking a little time off. We really appreciate it. But we did want to, you're going to be joining us once a month now, Darren, and I'm very excited about that. We really want to learn and appreciate and give shout outs to our farmers because it's such an important part of the Wisconsin economy. And you are obviously in the middle of it. You're the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. So let's talk first and foremost about the state convention that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. What will you be anticipating is going to happen at that convention, December 13th through the 15th?
Yeah. So our convention, is December 13th through the 15th, going to be at the Tuba Vista Resorts in Wisconsin Dells, and It's the time of year that our members all get together and talk about the policy issues that they want to face for the next year. So that's a little bit longer process too. We usually start that in September already, where the counties and the locals get together and talk about the issues that they want to see talked about. And then the first part of November, our county presidents get together for a day-long meeting to go over the policy book that's been recommended by the policy review committee. And then ultimately it ends up at our state convention here coming up in a couple of weeks, where that'll be setting the directives of the organization for the next year. So, this year we've got quite a few issues that are kind of got discussed quite a bit. One of them was wolves. Another one is digesters. And then for quite a few years now, water has been an issue. And, of course, over the past couple of years now, the PFAS situation has added to that list of concerns on water quality. And then quantity, too, has been an issue over the years. So we've got pretty good line of things to talk about. We also do a few educational sessions in the morning and afternoon on Saturday. In the morning, we're going to be talking about the seed industry and some of the corporate monopolies there that are really controlling a lot of that, and how there's getting to be fewer and fewer choices for our farmers to actually look at seed varieties to buy. One thing that's kind of a positive there within our organization is we do have a few members that are starting some smaller seed cooperatives and trying to make sure that seed varieties are available and have many varieties available too. And then also Saturday morning, looking at, owning your land and what that looks like. And, as we're getting to, it seems like more parcels of land are becoming under control of fewer and fewer people. Can we make that land more diversely owned and how that might look too? In the afternoon, we got a session on what farming might look like over the next half a dozen years or so, and especially with the change in administration again and some of the things that came out during the election process, there's that concern on what could be happening. So overall, I think we've got a lot of interesting topics, but certainly looking forward to the discussion of our members on our policy and what the direction is going to look like for 2025.
Boy, you guys, you're covering a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff. Is wolf predation a big problem, Darren, for Wisconsin farmers?
Yeah, especially our most northern members up there. We have some members that have seen 15 to 20% of their calves lost in a spring during calving season and due to wolves. And we have, another member up there too that's put 8-foot fence all the way around their whole farm to keep wolves out. And, that could be something that could actually make the farm go bankrupt too, because that's not cheap to put that fence up.
No doubt.
But yet, when you look at what losing on calves, that's your future too. So, we really need to look at something because we got members that are very strong on both sides there, certainly the ones that are losing animals for predation, but then also those that don't want any wolves killed at all. So, we have to try to figure out what that medium can look like, or if there's, programs that could be made available to farmers to have that protection and keep the, wolf population safe and growing, or else, make sure that we've got something that farmers can continue to make a living on.
Darren, another thing you brought up was PFAS. And we've talked about that a lot, both on the show and as a network, the importance of getting that under control. What do you assume or predict the talks about that topic will be at the convention this month?
Yeah, I certainly think it's going to be one of our special orders of business. And then, it's more looking at how do we make sure that the farm community is not become the target of everybody as the problem. Mm-hmm. Certainly there's situations out there where it could be that, but, how do we get to a solution of making sure that, number one, we can control or eliminate future bites that are going to be there, but also making sure that everybody's responsible about their actions doing what they can to help clean up the problem. And so does that include, you know, state and federal programs that would have dollars made available for sites that have been contaminated and can be cleaned up or at least controlled? So, you know, lots of different options out there. What our members will come up with, I'm sure, will be a soup full of different ideas.
It'll be an interesting stew.
That's for sure.
If you're just joining us, Darren Von Rudin is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he's going to be joining us once a month going forward as we head into 2025. You had mentioned seed monopolies, Darren, and I had never thought about that. I certainly know that that's a problem within animal processing because that seems to be pretty much controlled by one or two companies. I never anticipated that. But it makes perfect sense that there's seed monopolies. That's just got to be crushing for farmers.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and as that process is continuing to grow, it's getting to be where the chemical companies and the seed companies have the same owners. So if you buy one particular seed brand, then you almost have to buy the chemicals from the chemical company that seed company owns, or that ownership can be vice versa, not necessarily a seed company owning the chemicals might own the seed company. And, you know, back 30 years ago, there was 8 to 15 major players in the seed industry. Today we're down to about 3.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The majority are worldwide seed sellers too. So it's not just that they're here in the U.S. They're really worldwide. And so having that diversity and options for farmers to buy different seeds is really becoming a bigger issue. So that's why it's, you know, quite exciting that we've got a few members that are forming seed cooperatives that are starting, you know, on smaller grains versus the larger commodities. But, you know, if we can break into that market, you know, can we get back into making the seed and soybean industry a little bit more diverse too?
That's so interesting. How do you even begin to start a seed cooperative?
Well, yeah, it's a process. First you got to get some folks that are interested in that process, and then, you know, the dollars is really the biggest thing there.
Sure.
You match some funds that you can have storage space, and then so the seed production process does cost quite a bit. Just the equipment alone to put seed in the ground can be quite expensive. But then, you know, having the varieties that are going to be matched up for the different soil types and all the different weather events that happen, you know, that's a challenge in itself. But certainly, you know, certain individuals and groups have put time and effort and committed to making sure that they can work that process along, and then just having the diversity helps, especially local areas where these seed co-ops are at, seems to be, you know, an interest of the local farmers to keep things expanding and diversifying.
Darren, we got a break coming up. We will be right back. We're going to talk about the ever-languishing farm bill and see where that is. Darren Van Rudin is our guest, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Keep it right here. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matineer on Air. Jane Matineer, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is on the phone with us. And right before the break, Darren, we were talking about these seed company monopolies. And I just want to reiterate, monopolies are only good for, I don't know, those corporations and their shareholders. It sure doesn't seem like the monopolies do the rest of us much good.
Yeah, you know, and there's studies out there that show that too, is, you know, the fewer folks that are involved in any cycle of any business really just makes it harder for the you know, in our situation, the farmers, the producers, to not only buy product but also sell it too. And when you have a diverse economic situation out there, which is that business model, you know, it seems to be the competition keeps everybody from the consumer back to the farmer somewhat happy. But when you do have that monopoly issue, you know, it's basically one or two winners and the rest of us are left holding the basket.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. We were talking also about the state convention that's coming up December 13th through the 15th. That's going to happen in Wisconsin Dells. And I'm sure you're hearing a lot about the farm bill, which is still languishing. What's the discussion you're hearing about that, Darren?
Yeah, so certainly what's happening in D.C. right now with the administration change and looking at the new Secretary of Agriculture, looking at that process, who thinks they want to get the Farm Bill passed because they don't have to worry about the next election cycle, and those that do, you know, it's looking more and more like there's probably just going to be an extension to the current Farm Bill. You know, right now we actually don't have a Farm Bill. It expired back in September 30th, and we're sitting there really with nothing, but things really don't kick in until January 1 of 2025 if we don't get an extension here, you know, in the next 10 days of legislative session that's happening in D.C. And, you know, and all things are pointing to right now, the House and the Senate's versions are too far apart and they don't have enough hours in a day to get it together and get something in front of the president. So that means an extension that'll most likely happen, and then we'll deal with it next year. And of course, you know, next year is an off election year, so nobody wants to spend any money at all on those years, which is not a good thing for the Farm Bill, because that means cuts instead of keeping the programs that we currently have.
Well, and explain what this would mean if this extension would not even get kicked, if they wouldn't get that done, that would have some devastating consequences for Wisconsin's farmers.
Yeah, well, it might actually help in one aspect, because it would go back to the original laws, Farm Bill law that was put in place back in 1937, and it would mean that farmers would have to be paid parity prices. And so that would have a devastating effect on the consumers, because, you know, right now farmers generally are receiving 20 to 25% of the parity price. So, for instance, you know, dairy milk, a gallon of milk that we're currently getting at $3 a gallon, or maybe $4, depending on what part of the state you live in, you could see a doubling or a tripling of that price if the Farm Bill didn't get signed. Because at that point, then the farm economy, you know, certainly we'd see that influx coming here, but that has to come from someplace. So how can we, you know, continue that process that way? You know, we really need to make sure that the Farm Bill is there so that, number one, farmers have protection, but number two, consumers have protection too. And without it, we're you know, really both in trouble, because people simply won't be able to afford to eat food, and then we'll have, you know, mass overproduction, really, and then you lose more farmers than you currently do, because all of a sudden the processors and the distributors can't afford to buy our product, and then it's, you know, sits in the bulk tanks or sits in the storage sheds.
And this is one of the reasons why, Darren, we want to have you on the show on a regular basis. Things like this, you know, when people hear farmers bill, the Farm Bill, they might not think, well, that's farmers. What does that have to do with me? This has everything to do with everyone. It includes farmers, the consumers, the people. It affects us all if these is overdue by a year bill is not passed. So I, you know, we just really thank you for being on the show and talking to us about these things.
Absolutely. Because again, if a gallon of milk would go up to $8 a gallon, the shrieking would never stop. And unfortunately, they're going to come and they're going to be shrieking at our dairy farmers, not the people in Washington who didn't get their job done. Right.
Right, right, yeah. It's always easiest to point the finger at the person at the bottom, and instead of holding people accountable for their actions that have put the farming industry, you know, in the bad spotlight. Which, you know, farmers generally want to make sure that we provide safe, adequate food supply for everybody out there. And you know, I talked to a lot of farmers that would just love to work for basically nothing if they could, you know, have that time off and have a few of the other fun activities that are going on out there. But of course, capitalism requires us to make money. So that means that we have to charge for the products that we produce. But overwhelmingly, there's a lot of farmers that just really love what they do and would do it on a regular basis without any complaints. But when you can't have any of the fun things too once in a while, that's where the economic system we're in is really causing the hardships that we're seeing.
Absolutely. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Thank you so much for taking that some time out for us, Darren. We will talk to you next month. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too, and look forward to next month.
Thanks, Darren.
See you in December, Darren. News is coming up next. When we return, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public cervix announcement. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. Gunfire at a religious K-8 school in Northern California.
There were two students who had sustained gunshot wounds. Both of them boys, one age 6, one age 5.
Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey. Both boys are in critical condition. Police say the gunman took his own life. New York City police are looking for the killer who gunned down United Healthcare CEO on a Manhattan sidewalk. This tourist from London is uneasy.
I'm quite shocked. I thought perhaps it was a famous person coming out. Not something like that. That's not what you want to hear at Christmas, is it?
A new Justice Department report recommends a federal judge monitor the Memphis Police Department, which it says uses excessive force and unconstitutional practices.
Memphis hasn't agreed to that yet. They say that they want to review the report. They might also want to see what the new president wants to do in this area.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Short turnaround. The Bucks host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. The Bucks coming off a 127-107 win over the Pistons last night in Detroit. Head coach Doc Rivers on their seventh win in a row.
The more we attack the paint, the more open shots we're going to get. Detroit is a help basketball team like every team is. And our guys just found the open man.
College Hoops, number 5th ranked Marquette is at Iowa State tonight. On Saturday, they'll host Wisconsin. The Badgers losing to Michigan 67-64. Their first loss of the season. Head coach Greg Gard.
Credit to Michigan. They banked on us not being able to bang in some threes and did a good job of gumming up the paint and made it hard in terms of that regard, and were able to get enough offense going to get past us.
NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur asked if Jair Alexander will be able to play Thursday night against the Lions despite his knee injury.
We'll see. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Do you have an actor you like to watch even if he or she is in a TV show or movie that isn't great? That's how I feel about Colman Domingo, who is the star of the show Madness. Domingo plays an outspoken TV personality who rents an Airbnb in the secluded Pennsylvania woods to work on a book, but stumbles upon a murder. He ends up fighting for his life while trying to clear his name after being framed for the crime. I can't give it rave reviews, but it's not a bad thriller, mostly because of the performance of Domingo. Season 1 of The Madness is available to stream on Netflix. Speaking of Domingo, his film Sing Sing is one of 5 nominees for Best Picture by the Independent Spirit Awards. Other nominees include the Demi Moore horror film The Substance, modern-day Cinderella critics' darling Anora, A24's I Saw the TV Glow, and Amazon MGM's Nickel Boys, which will be in theaters December 13th. Many more nominations for many more award shows will be announced right around the corner, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price of the Overt Eye. Plenty of clouds and plenty of wind. Northwest winds over 40 miles per hour. Lows will drop to the upper single digits. Wind chill sub-zero. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, still blustery, with highs in the middle 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll see how feisty those winds are with Brittany Merlot and a little weather and wine. We talk sports with J.R. Radcliffe and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm going out tonight. Believe I'm still bejeweled when I walk in the room. I can still make the whole place.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gail B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter, she joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement, but we talk all things health. So if you ever have a question for her, please email that to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How are you? I like the Christmas tree in the background.
Good morning. We're crazy about Christmas here. That's actually our that's our bird tree. It only has bird ornaments.
Oh, because your husband works with birds.
Yeah.
I will leave. Okay, guys, everywhere. I'm out of here on this one. Sorry, birds are being talked about. I'm out.
We know how I love birds. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that he gets his own bird tree. Everyone should have a tree of their own. Absolutely. One of the reasons I was looking forward to talking to you today, because this is a group of people that you work with. You work within the trans community, and the U.S. Supreme Court's hearing oral arguments today in a major case over transgender health care for minors. This is focusing on Tennessee's ban on the treatment for minors in their state. Justice Samuel Alito asking lawyers representing the families who are challenging this ban, wouldn't this lead to endless litigation based on determinations by lay judges regarding complicated medical issues? Well, you guys did that with the abortion issue. I don't know what Alito was talking about.
Is he talking about the Chevron doctrine being taken away so the judges make the decisions instead of specialists?
Yeah, no, he didn't mention that. But I find that interesting. But the Tennessee's whole point, apparently, Tennessee Solicitor General Matthew Rice says the law makes a reference to a minor appreciating their sex as a recognition that some people regret the treatments. So I would like you to talk about regret. People who do go through perhaps hormone blockers and things like that. Because that's, first of all, it starts with counseling. I want to make that clear, right? If your child comes to you and they're in fourth grade and says, I have questions, you don't take them to the doctor and say, we need surgery. It starts with counseling, correct?
Exactly. Always with counseling. And there's so many conversations around this. And we've talked about that before, that this is like many, many conversations with multiple providers, social work, your primary care, maybe an OBGYN, so you're having, this conversation several times before any medical treatment and especially surgical treatment. So I was listening for the last 2 hours. I've been listening to the arguments and like screaming at my screen.
I'm sure.
Is wrong. Like,
the thing that like really, and to be clear, there is, I will say there is still a paucity of a lot of data with when it comes to transgender care, especially with minors. So I'll give you that like there's still lots of research that needs to be done. However, what really was grinding my gears was that they kept saying in the arguments, the lawyer, whoever it was that was talking to the judges, kept saying testosterone is irreversible. If you give a little girl testosterone, it's irreversible. And that is something that we just don't know yet. And there's there are a few papers out there. Some say that patients that have ovaries that have been on long-term testosterone and then gone off it have had the same successful egg retrieval as people that have not been on testosterone. So that's a paper that came out in 2020 that said that. And in 2021, there was another paper that said the opposite, that if people on long-term testosterone had poorer egg retrieval, more DNA damage and things like that. So that is a question.
It's an open question.
To just blanket statement. Yep. To say that to the judge, it's irreversible. He kept saying it causes infertility. It causes infertility. And that's like the biggest thing that I see, is that, patients think if they're on testosterone, they also, and they're having intercourse with someone that could be get them pregnant, they need to be on a birth control too, because testosterone is not 100% causes infertility. Like, that's like,
sure,
we know
sure.
that. So like, you can still potentially ovulate or have menstrual bleeding if you have a uterus and ovaries. So, when he kept saying infertility, that was just driving me nuts. So again, not only is there not a lot of data in this area, there's a lot of cherry picking of data in these arguments that's happening. And like the CAST review is one that gets brought up a lot and has a lot of misinformation in it. And so they went into that a little bit about like, well, you picked this study, you know, like, so, but they don't get into the weeds as much as we do, which is a little bit frustrating, to say the least.
I'm sure. So yeah. when we talk about people who regret having had this treatment, do we have any numbers on this specifically?
Yeah. And that's a great question. Sorry, I kind of went off on my own tangent.
Tangent away. No,
I wanted
problem.
To be a politician once. So like, let me answer the question I wanted you to
No, ask. You'd be terrible at it, doctor. Cause you'd be like, no, you're wrong and stupid. And then you never get elected.
She's out. So that's another one that I think that there's numbers, but that is such a moving target, because there are some people that, and again, the language around this is people don't really like the word detransition. I like the word gender journey, because I think that at different times in your life, you are going to experience feeling different genders. Like, I think when I was growing up, I was very much a tomboy. Like, I, you know, in the 90s, that's what you call it, what you said. It was
right.
Your tomboy. I never wanted to wear skirts. I only wanted to wear pants and ties. I never thought of myself as a male, but I was very much like not feminine. And
you weren't
and
a girly
I
girl.
Like, I love wearing my, yeah. Well, now I'm like sparkles everywhere, like high heel. Like, I love it, you know? So I think that it's a journey. And I think that if we all kind of reflect on how we feel at different times in our lives and who we're around in the environment, it's going to change. So I think that it's a little unfair to say, like, what is the exact percentage of people that, quote, detransition or regret their decision? There is really interesting data that came out. There's a U.S. trans survey that people can look up. It's called the U.S. trans survey. They did it in 2015, and then they did it again in 2022. They had an open online survey to anyone that identified as non-binary or trans to fill out, and they got 92,000 responses.
Wow.
Which is, yeah. So that's like a good, you know,
sample.
Again, there's the part that it's online. And so there's, you know, recall button and stuff like that, but still that's a good, N, right? So, in that people, let's pull up. I sent these, stats to Jane earlier. Sorry, everyone. I don't have every stat memorized, believe it or not.
Shocking.
I know. Doctors aren't perfect either. So when they asked people about their life satisfaction with receiving hormone treatment, 84% said they were a lot satisfied and 14% said a little more satisfied. So only one or less than 1% said they were not satisfied. So I would, you know, kind of say from that people that so that can, you know, vary. Does that mean that they were detransitioning or didn't actually feel it fit their gender, or they just weren't happy with the effects that they got from there? At any rate, I would put that number around like 1% from that. But I think that that's like really huge to know that people that get hormone therapy to help them associate with the gender that they feel that they are overall 84 plus 14% satisfied, you know, like that's huge. And, you know, they talked a little bit in the Supreme Court. Another thing that was driving me nuts is like the risk of suicide. And they talked about how transgender people do have a higher rate of suicide. We know that. But once they receive medical treatment or surgical treatment, their chance of suicide, of going through with suicide, is much lower. So the chance of suicidality is still there, but the chance of actually going through with it is much lower if they're receiving these treatments. So again, you can very much like those nuances, you can you can say, oh, well, the suicide rate is the same or it goes up or something like that. And it's like, no, because that population, because they have a harder life because of the arguments that they right. have to fight for this, right?
Right.
Right? That they're, you know, going to have harder mental health or have issues with mental health. So, you know, again, that's just one way that you can see how they can, you know, the other side can kind of like pick and choose.
Well, and sometimes it's a sin of omission. We just don't mention the parts of the studies that we don't like that contradict exactly. our point. Correct.
One of the things, doctor, I think about, like, you know, not having all the stats in front of us, the fact that the sheer number of people who identify in this country as trans is very small. It's like a percent and a half.
Exactly.
So you take that percent and a half and you say, how many of those individuals, I don't even like using the word regret because I feel like they've weaponized the word regret. Eric Hovde did that in his speeches. They're weaponizing that word regret to say, well, you see, we were right. All these kids who were who are trans and now can't go back. It's like, well, you're talking about a percentage of a small percentage that you're not even correct about because you don't really care about these kids that you're using as
as an example.
Exactly. Example, but like I want to use a kind of almost more a violent term. Like you're using them as a weapon. As a target. And so like if someone ever says to you, like, well, all these trans people, well, how many people do you think are trans in this country? Like a percent. And when you talk about detransitioning, I love what you say about gender journey. It's an even smaller number than that.
Exactly. I think that it is actually 0.6% identify as transferred. I'm pretty sure.
Really? Okay.
Might need to fact check me on that. In the US. One time I did clap when I was listening to the arguments, Justice Sotomayor pointed out that exactly. She's like, okay, so we're talking about a less than 1% of the population. And the argument had been, well, you know, it'll go to the democratic process, you know, if it gets to that too, in order for them to get the medication. She was like, I find it really hard to believe that the democratic process is going to be fair to a part of the population that's less than 1%. And I was like, "Queen,
yes, that's all problem." And I might be wrong about this, Dr. Hanks, but I saw something in the last couple of days that some of these treatments that they use for trans people are applicable in other health applications. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Some of the medications that people take in order to help their transition are also applied in other applications. Not just for transitioning.
Yeah. So that was a lot of this conversation is when is it appropriate to give someone testosterone? So, you know, a little, a boy that doesn't, you know, is going through or is not going through puberty or like wants chest hair. And I actually sat on a panel once where, not to like stereotype, but there was this old white guy in the back and he was kind of making me nervous and he, you know, it was all about trans care and he raised his hand. I was like, uh-oh. And he goes, well, I'm just confused because I'm a primary physician and I prescribe hair growth treatment for balding men. Isn't that gender affirming care? And I was like, slow clap for the old white guy. Like,
looking at you, Elon Musk.
So he was just like, what's the conversation? And I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at 11:33 for public cervix announcement. If you ever have a question for the doctor regarding anything, send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanks. We'll see you next Wednesday. Stay with us. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Remains of the Day edition. Might not be what you're expecting. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers.
Beats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, if you haven't yet, download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. You can call and text directly to all of the shows all across the network, no matter where you are in the state. We also have Badger games that you can listen on the app, and it's absolutely free. So also, go get the app.
You can customize it, too, for the things you want. Sports, weather, news, all those things.
Sign up for newsletters.
It's wonderful.
It is pretty wonderful. And there's going to be a app-specific contest coming very soon. So people can win wonderful and fabulous prizes that could, but probably won't, change the course of your entire life.
Can you count on that? Absolutely.
Absolutely, Greg Buck. All right, it's 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This one I found on insidethemagic.net. I don't even know what this is.
This sounds credible.
But it was posted by Eva Miller.
Yep.
Giving credit to Disney for the photo on there. Headline reads, Haunted Mansion Shut Down After Guest Disposes of Human Remains. In a bizarre and concerning incident at Walt Disney World Resort, the Haunted Mansion ride on November 30th had to be temporarily closed and evacuated after a guest tried to scatter human ashes during the ride. The act, which has been confirmed as a recurring issue in theme parks, resulted in significant disruption for guests and immediate response from park staff.
Folks, by the way, really quick here. Anytime, if you're listening, whether you're listening on the live stream, when you hear this noise... That's Jane being very upset.
That's my mouse.
Just like...
The report shared by a park guest describes the selfishness of the act, emphasizing repercussions for both staff and the remains themselves,
This quote, is the best.
Quote, as I write, this haunted mansion is down and being evacuated due to someone spreading human ashes on the ride. Aside from the selfishness of the act, your loved one's ashes are going to be vacuumed up into a bucket with mouse droppings and other detritus and thrown in the garbage.
But Jane, magic mouse droppings. They're cartoon mice.
I can't think of a more ignominious end to someone that I cared for. Plus, if we can identify who did it, after all, there are cameras all throughout that park.
Yes.
You're probably going to be banned from attending all Disney property. In other words, please don't do this. Yeah, don't do that. Scattering human ashes in public places, including Disney, is not only against park rules, but also illegal in many jurisdictions without proper authorization. This also raises questions about respect and common courtesy.
No one wants to stamp up. I don't want to step on Aunt Rosie's ashes. I would feel so bad.
Can you imagine going and then all of a sudden you get a big pfft in your face?
Yeah.
And that was Uncle Wilbur.
What was that? What was that? Oh, he loved this ride.
Can
we just go? And honestly, if I thought about this beforehand, I would have gotten some dramatic music. The letter is so good because they use words like detritus and ignominious.
Ignominious is a good word.
I mean, someone went to community college probably. It's amazing. I love this letter so much.
Amazingly, this is not an isolated incident.
Narp.
People trying to scatter ashes in Disney parks, fairly common. Popular attractions like the Haunted Mansion often attract those who wish to leave a part of their loved ones in a place they cherished while they're alive. But this can cause significant operational disruptions, pose health concerns, and ultimately result in the remains of Uncle Wilbur being disposed of in an undignified manner. Disney Parks, says this article, are cherished for making memories. They're not equipped to serve as a final resting place.
I am really surprised at this point that Disney doesn't have a service where they're like, did they love coming here?
That would be a huge moneymaker.
Maybe
for them.
Not involving the ashes, or maybe involving the ashes where they have a specific area. You could have a little ceremony.
In memoriam,
you can dash them over. You can dash them over of some flowers as a fertilizer. But
see, you'd have to pay for that.
You think that people wouldn't pay $500
no,
for that service?
Because that's why they're doing it on the Haunted Mansion ride, because they don't want to have to pay for an internment.
What was your favorite ride? It was the Tower of Terror. Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. That's today's round of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Really should not. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we will have J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and much, much more. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, just a little, and you have the chance to share it. Stay tuned for news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Dom Salvia, and Pete Schwabba. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Caribou Coffee's Faith Flynn makes the popcorn pick of the week. Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie talks Christmas events around the state. Then we wrap up with WBAY morning show host Emerson Lehman. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.